Our passage this morning is from Paul's writings to the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians. From Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Are you able to get that up, John? There we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship and daughtership through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity of all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be in for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Blessings to you, Steve, as you bring a message from God for us.
So, what is it like for God to dance? I thought about the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, just a kind of a image of dancing, of light. But if we as people are in various ways drawn to dance and to celebrate, and we're created in God's image, you know, what is it about God that would lead God to dance? You know, what would that look like? So my suggestion this morning is that God as a dancer would be a God who celebrates, a God who extends grace to us, a God who creates things with joy, a God who pours out gifts. And that, to me, is the dance of God, how he acts with such generosity. You might have some understanding or picture this. Just we've gone through this gift-giving season of Christmas. And there's a way to give gifts with joy and with animation. I don't know if you experience it all, almost dancing to someone with a gift, you know, ready to give to them, as opposed to giving a gift with indifference, you know. Your gift's over there by the tree, you know, get it when you want, or, you know, just giving it begrudgingly or however that might look. But rather with joy and celebration and energy, we give our gifts to each other. So I believe God dances when he creates and when he resurrects and when he heals. And I think that especially gets dramatized in the song Lord of the Dance. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that. The words really describe Jesus. And we're going to sing it. April and I we're going to read it, but it was thought that in Sunday school that we know it well enough that we're going to actually sing it in a moment. But the author, the lyricist here, Sidney Carter, says that this song portrays the life and mission of Jesus as a dance, and he goes on to say, and I think it's a he, I'm not sure, Sidney could be either a man or a woman. So the author, the lyricist says, I see Christ as the incarnation of the piper who is calling us. He dances that shape and pattern, which is at the heart of our reality. So like he lives out, he dances out true life and you know, makes the way for us to have life. And so we're going to sing this song. And Shelby, could you come up and lead us? And I just, we'll sing it, but really take notice of the words and how these words dramatize Jesus going forth, dancing out God's purposes. Okay, so think about that as we sing.
Okay, a couple things up front. Yeah, let's stand. I haven't sang this song for a really long time, and I'm really trusting that a lot of you know this song. And I think we should not feel bad if somebody's going up and somebody's going down. They might have learned it differently. So we're just going to sing it and enjoy ourselves, okay? So I might sing it a little different than you, but hopefully we're singing it mostly the same. So here we go. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I dance for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I dance for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high and they left me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Just a pause. We're talking about dancing. I don't expect you to get in the aisles and move around, but if you want to tap your leg or move your hips a little or, you know, kind of tap your feet, and Daniel might even go on the drum. So here we go. And I might go a little higher.
I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Good job. I saw some. That was great.
Thanks, Shelby. Thanks, everybody, for participating in that. Makes a difference singing it rather than just quoting it. I'm up front here. So biblically, if we think about God's dance, I think Ephesians 1, the passage that Chris read for us, reflects the dance of God, or a God who's just willing and generous and ready to pour out his blessings and his salvation
and is energetic to act on our behalf. And so I just want to look at Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 a little more closely, just to draw out how I see God dancing in the midst of that particular passage. How God comes with joy and with a willingness to serve us and to pour out his blessings. And just a note, Ephesians 1 versus Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 1 here, this is the very beginning of Paul's letter, and he describes God's saving, redeeming acts like in a broad sense, and that's what we'll look at. In Ephesians 2, it gets more specific, like for me, this is what God's grace is all about. For it's by grace that I've been saved through faith. I can't boast. It's a gift from God, and I'm God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So it gets more specific about us. But Ephesians in chapter 2, but in chapter 1 here, Paul's just pouring out praise in a broad sense for this redeeming God. And so we could say, just in the terms of today, that Paul is glorifying God for God's dance. God is appreciating this beautiful dance. The only dancer I could think of is Baryshnikov. Maybe you can fill in the blanks of somebody else, but a dancer that just is beautiful to watch and to see this dance unfold. And I see Paul doing that here in this particular passage. And when God is glorified for what he does, we're the beneficiary of that. And you'll see that in the passage. And we dance in response. But let's not make a mistake here. God's the focus here. Praising, this is a praise of God for what he's done and what he's danced into being. But we can see how we praise God for the benefits that we have as his children. And then we'll get to the point where we dance in response to this. So God's glorified by how he redeems and how he saves and how he heals and how he serves, which is amazing. That's how the Almighty God is glorified, by what he does to come down to us and serve and heal and forgive and give us new life. And one more thing before I get into this scripture, just another scripture that might make us understand this a little better too. There's a story where Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and they come upon a blind man. And the disciples have this question, what's the cause of this blindness? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? And Jesus' response is, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed. We could say the dance of God in his life could be seen and God could be glorified. So as John Piper commentates on this, he says, for the disciples, it's all about what's the cause? Why is this man blind? But for Jesus, it's all about how God's purposes will be demonstrated in his life, how God will be given the glory. And so today, it's all about us giving praise for how God accomplishes his purposes in this world, in all of creation, and specifically in each one of our lives. And April asked a good question on the way to church. As I was telling her about this, she said, well, what if the man wouldn't have been healed? Would he still have had a purpose? Was he created for a purpose? And I think we could say, knowing scripture, even if God doesn't answer prayers or acts in dramatic ways that we would want, we could always say God's purposes, or trust that God's purposes are being accomplished in our lives and in our struggles. And one way or another, we can praise him and glorify him for how he's acting out or dancing through our difficulties. So with those things in mind, I want to look at this portion of Ephesians. And what I did is I put in bold the wonderful thing God did. And then I put in red, like, the heart of God. If we think of God, the dancer, the generous one who pours out graciously and is just so willing to come and serve us. So the first one is, the first thing that Paul mentions that God has done is, for God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
you know, praise God that that was his forethought, that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. And what's the heart of God? What's this coming out of? It's because God's a God who wants to bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's the heart of God. And then the next thing that Paul mentions is God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. God's design, again, was that we would be children of God with the full rights and benefits, the full reality of being a child of God. And why, or what's this coming out of? It's coming out of God's love, and it's in accordance with God's pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. The next thing Paul mentions is that in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins. And what's this coming out of? What's this dancing God who wants to do this for us? In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us, that he's just poured out on us overwhelmingly. Then the next thing Paul mentions is he's made known to us the mystery of his will. God's let us in on what his purposes are. And that's that when the times reach their fulfillment, he will bring all things united together, things in heaven and on earth under Christ Jesus. And what's that stemming from? It's that God wants to do this with all wisdom and understanding, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And then Paul mentions that in him, in Christ, we were chosen. We are the chosen ones of God. In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, you were included in Christ when you heard the message and the gospel of your salvation. We're chosen, we're included. God has done that for us. And what's that drawing from the heart of God? It's because, again, he's predestined. He's had this plan to work out everything according to his purposes. Like this heart that says, I am going to accomplish this. This will happen for my children. And then finally, Paul mentions that that when we believe, we were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, this deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, that we have the sure inheritance waiting for us. And again, what it's to the praise of God's glory. So I hope you can see that that idea, that metaphor, that heart of God dancing, God celebrating and wanting to accomplish these things for us with all joy. And so now, just kind of turning now, that's God who dances out his purposes. But our response then, when we recognize this, is to dance in response and celebration. If you remember last week, we talked about the prodigal son. And there the theme was the robe of God, that when the son came home, the father put the finest robe upon him. And that represents how God robes us in his righteousness and welcome when we turn to him. But then the next scene is that the father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And I'm just going to imagine that that included dancing and celebration for what... metaphorically or in a parable sense of what God or what the Father has done here, the situation of this son's return. And then if you read our scriptures for this week, in Jeremiah, he prophesies that the Lord is going to deliver Jacob, or he is going to deliver the people of Israel. And he's going to redeem them from the hand of those who are stronger than they. And then that just unleashes this celebration by the people, the recipients of that. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. Young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty. This response, again, of celebration, of rejoicing over what God has done. And then just the last image I'd like to give here of our response is David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. David's reestablishing Jerusalem as the center of the nation of Israel, and he's bringing the worship of God central to that place, and that starts with bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the center of the people. And it says that he danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a priestly garment. And so David and all the people of Israel brought the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. So this great celebration, again, celebrating what God had done and that God's in their midst, again, represented by this Ark. And if you know the story, David's wife, Michal, is disgusted by this embarrassing display that her husband is doing in front of all the people. Not seeing it as like this act of worship and David just wholeheartedly worshiping the Lord, but just seeing this man, her husband, flaunting himself before all the people. So may these things challenge us to have this kind of response, whether it's literally dancing, but a sense of celebration and joy, and that same kind of generosity of life that God shows us. So I thought about how I could incorporate dancing into this service. If I would dance, my wife would be embarrassed up here. But the way that I wholeheartedly or kind of with my body worship God is through juggling. So I'm going to play a song of worship and juggle to it, and see it not as I'm entertaining you, but that it's a demonstration of worship. And so you could feel free to clap along or sing along if you know the song. And then after that, just going to open it up. If anybody wants to share a word of praising God, looking back on 2021, looking ahead to 2022, how has God shown himself faithful? How has he danced in our life to bring about his purposes, even despite maybe a difficult time, a difficult year? So we'll open it up for that. Okay.